I got a shaila the other day. Someone told me he lives in an apartment building in Teaneck, and he heard that even though there is an Eruv in Teaneck, that his apartment, that Rav Schechter holds, that he needs to make a separate Eruv within his apartment building, even though there is a community Eruv. So he wanted to know, does he in fact have to do that? Does Rav Schechter actually hold that way? And does he have to do that? And how do you do it? So forgetting how you do it, it's very easy to do. But let's discuss why one would have to do that. If there's a community Eruv, why wouldn't that cover everything, including the apartment building? Why would you have to make a separate Eruv in the apartment building? So to back up a step, we need to understand a little bit about what Eruv Chatzeros is really all about. When we put up the strings and we make the Tzuras HaPesach and the walls around an entire community, we're transforming the community into a Rishus HaYachad Midor Raisa. So on a Doraisa level, at that point, you're allowed to carry anywhere within the community. However, Shlomo HaMelech was Mesakein Eruv Chatzeros. Gemara Shabbos, Daf Yudalev and Beis tells us that when Shlomo HaMelech was Mesakein Eruv Chatzeros, the Baskel came out and approved of it, that it was a good decision to be Mesakein Eruv Chatzeros, that in addition to setting up Mechitza, you need to also make an Erev Chatzerus, which is that everybody, that all of the Jewish people who believe in Erevin have to, that all live in the community, and assuming they're the exclusive group that lives in the community, so they all contribute some matzah or some bread to the Erev, and the entire collection is stored in one of the houses in that area, and therefore we view everybody as if they live in that one house, and that takes away even the Yisur D'Rabbanan that you would normally have to carry from one house to another. Once you have more than 18 people, you don't have to keep increasing the shear of the amount that you use. So once it's more than 18 people, you can use one box of matzahs, and that covers the entire community. You just change the matzah every year. Once a year, typically, you change the matzah. So the Gemara in Shabbos tells us Shlomo HaMelech made this takana, and the Rambam explains that the idea of making the takana was that people should be reminded about the dinim of carrying on Shabbos. So we don't actually require every single household in a Rishus HaYachid to actually give some bread toward the Eruv. Instead, we do it through Zachon L'Adam Shalom B'Fanav. You have two people get together, one person takes the box of matzahs, gives it to the other person is Zocha on behalf of everybody, on behalf of the entire community, and that way the Eruv is made, and people are allowed to carry in that area. Doing that procedure requires a bracha al mitzvahs Eruv prior to doing the procedure, and then you say Bahadei Neruva, you know, that with this Eruv, we're hereby allowing ourselves to be able to carry in this entire area. However, even that only works if all of the people within that community are people who are Jewish and believe in Torah Shebaal Peh. They believe in Erevin. But if there are people who are either not Jewish or don't believe in Erevin, then they don't get included in an Erev Chatzeros. So there is a separate procedure to cover those people as well. And that is what's called Schiras Rishus. That a person has to rent the apartments, the homes, the common areas like the streets and the parks from every non-Jewish and non-believing in Erevin person that resides in that town. That's what's called Schiras Rishus. So how do you rent, you know, to go and knock on every door and rent the Rishus of every single person's property? That would be nearly impossible. That would be mamish impossible. So the Shulchan Aruch says, what we do is we find someone who is the Sar Ha'ir, someone who can represent everybody, and we are do a Schiras Rishus from that person, because the basis of going to the Sar Ha'ir, the Shulchan Aruch says, is that, and why is he allowed to rent out somebody else's house? The Sar Ha'ir has his own house, maybe very big and nice house, but how could he rent out everybody else's house in the whole neighborhood? So the basis is that the Sar Ha'ir, we assume, has the right to take over, to commandeer someone's home and put soldiers there if they need, if the military needs, that soldiers need to stay there and to keep a military equipment in those homes. So since he has rights to everybody's home, so mele he could be the representative of everybody else. Problem is that we have a constitution in the United States that does not allow for the government to do that. The government is not allowed to actually put soldiers in our homes, and in a democracy, Schiras Rishus is not so pashut. They say that Rav Eliashiv was actually quite hesitant about doing a Schiras Rishus in a democracy. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank in Tshuvas Har Tzvi, or Chaim Chelik Beis, I mean, Yud Zayin says, no! Schiris Rishos is easier in a democracy, because when you have a government that is by the people, for the people, the government officials are the people. They are the representatives of the people. So it's better in a democracy, because then the people, maybe in when you're not dealing with a democracy, every time the person leaves office, you have to do a new Schiris Rishos. But in a democracy, it's not about the person. It's about that person represents all the people, and therefore maybe it's even better to do a Schiris Rishos in a democracy. Rabbi Jachter writes in an article, he quotes Sefer Tikvas Zecharia, who paskins that a city government in America has the right to lease private homes for Schiris Rishos, because local governments are allowed to search homes, they're allowed to inspect private homes, they're allowed to eminent domain. You have certain things that they're allowed to do, that rights that they have in the homes, and therefore Schiris Rishos is going to work. Rav Shachter is not so sure that that's true. The rights of eminent domain are very, very rarely used, as in never, and very difficult to apply in a way that is legal. Therefore, Rav Shachter paskins that it's usher, since if no one has the rights to the non-Jews' home or to the non-believing Jews' home, then no one could do Schiris Rishos other than them, other than the non-Jew himself. And therefore, you would not be, if no one could do a Schiris Rishos for them, you would not be allowed to carry into their homes, right, on Shabbos. Now, the public streets, that you could have a government official do Schiris Rishos, because police close off public streets all the time. They put out those orange cones and they start directing traffic, and all of a sudden, a lane that I was allowed to use, all of a sudden, I'm not allowed to use anymore. So anyone who has a right to do that could do a Schiris Rishos of all the public streets and all the parks and things like that, but not of people's private homes. Rav Willig, Shlita, holds that Schiris Rishos in a democracy, there are kulas, but it's somewhat shvach, and that's why he personally doesn't rely on any community erevin, because they all rely on a Schiris Rishos, which is difficult in a democracy. And then even if you're going to rely on Schiris Rishos, which we do in all of our community erevin, you have to figure out which government official to use, right? Should it be the police chief? Should it be the mayor? Should it be Rabbi Jackson's whole article? Maybe it should be the president of the United States, right? Should it be that? Is that better or worse? Rabbi Willig thought that the chief of the fire department is the best person to use, because he can really go into any house whenever there's a fire hazard. He can go into any house. Rabbi Heinemann said he did the Erev in Baltimore with the governor of the state of Maryland. So a lot of times there's a practice that they try to do Schiris Rishos from as many different people as they possibly can, just to sort of cover all the bases. Schiris Rishos does expire at a certain point in time. Usually they do it in like a 20-year interval, so you have to remember to re-up it after 20 years. So exactly 17, they have a note 2036 that they have to redo the Schiris Rishos. So where does that leave us as far as the apartment building? What would be the issue with the apartment building? So if Shachter Shita with the apartment building is that even if you're doing a Schiris, it's the same Shita we just mentioned before, that even if you're doing a Schiris Rishos on all of the streets and all of the parks and everything else, you can't do a Schiris Rishos of somebody's home, because nobody has the right to go into that person's home. Even police don't have the right to go into the person's home without a warrant. So since the police don't have the right to go into the person's home without a warrant, any Schiris Rishos is not going to help you to enable you to carry in that person's home. And police are similarly not even allowed to go. If you have an apartment building with a lock on the door or with a doorman or something like that, they can stop the police from walking through the halls of that building. You're not allowed in here. We're not without a warrant. They don't have to let you in. So if they don't have to let the police in, then you can't. The Schiris Rishos is not going to cover those areas. So it would turn out that you would need your own separate Schiris Rishos in the apartment building from anyone who can have actual Rishos in the apartments in the apartment building. Who taka does have Rishos? So if the apartments come with refrigerators, let's say, so then the landlord is storing his refrigerators in all the apartments. So then you could do a Schiris Rishos from the landlord, because he's keeping stuff in all the apartments. So you would have to do a separate Schiris Rishos to allow the apartment building, if you hold that the right of police to come in with a warrant is not enough, or the fire department's not enough, which Rav Shachter holds that it's not enough. And therefore, it would also turn out another big chumra. Forget about the apartment building, that you need a separate Schiris Rishos for the apartment building. It would also turn out that if, let's say, there's what's the word, orthoprax, right? That there are people that don't believe in anything, but they send their kids to yeshivas and they daven in Orthodox shuls because they enjoy the Kiddush club, but they don't believe in Erevin, they don't believe in any of the Torah Shabbat. You're not allowed to carry anything into that. their house either, because there was no schiras rishos. No one could do a schiras rishos for them, so you should not be allowed to carry into their house either. The public places you're allowed to carry, but lechoru it turned out that you're not allowed to carry into a non-Jew's house. You're not allowed to carry into a non-religious Jew's or a non-believing Jew's house either. The kasha on this whole thing, though, and this whole chumrah, is that it would also turn out that the front yards of every non-Jew and non-believing Jew is needs a schiras rishos, and you can't do a schiras rishos, so that the their front yards are also usher, and that's nifrats bimiluo to the whole area where the Erev is supposed to cover. And whenever you have an area that's usher, that's nifrats bimiluo to a makam that's mutter, that's totally wide open to a makam that's mutter, so that's a problem. So that's a kasha on this on this whole mahalik. Nevertheless, Rav Shachter holds this way. I was told that Rav Shtormach and Rav Azner hold this way as well. So that's what it's based on, the idea that if you don't rely on the chief of police and the fire department chief to be able to do a schiras rishus, then you would require in the apartment buildings a separate schiras rishus. But the other chumrah that goes along with that is you would also not be allowed to carry anything into your orthoprax friend's home or into any non-Jew's home either. Okay.